The following is a presentation of the Pro Wrestling Report, TV and radio. Informative, entertaining, and real since 1998.
Reaction. It's WCW Monday Nitro. Back to 2 hours, but starting at 55 minutes to the hour. So starting 5 minutes early, Matthew, but back to airing 2 hours. Now, I didn't have my clock on. I didn't see what time the main event ended, but there was a part at the main event where Tony says, "I just got work from the truck. We're going to stick it out." So I'm assuming they went 2 hours and 5 minutes. Matthew Thomas, man, they call Meathead. Matthew, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, and Meathead, no matter what time it starts or if it's 1 hour or 2 hours or what day of the week Nitro falls on, I'm always happy to be right here and do analysis of the show with you.
Wait, analysis? That's not what you said earlier, about 3 minutes ago.
Yeah,
that's not the kind of analysis you were doing.
Yeah, we're analyzing the show, right? That's what we do. That's what we get paid to do, is to analyze this thing.
Matthew Thomas has beat Meathead, had his own game. Let's talk about WCW Monday Nitro. Matthew, I doff my hat to you, sir. This is not the Nitro after Slamboree. We're a week removed from it. But the ramifications and the waves, shockwaves, still being felt from Slamboree, making our way towards the Great American Bash. They waste no time this week. This is apparently an A show, because the show starts off with Eazy-E, Eric Bischoff, and your WCW World Heavyweight Champion, Hollywood Hulk Hogan. Now, Bischoff coming to the ring, this is key, folks. He's wearing the NWO Dennis Rodman shirt, and there's this is a setup. So, he's hanging with Bahamas Bra, Nasty Nick, Beautiful Brooke, and the whole family affair while Hollywood's making movies, spending Ted Turner's money. Matthew, your thoughts on them trying to call out Sting, and, you know, knowing that Sting was just here last week, the cat and mouse game, if you will, where, oh, Sting was here, so let me call him out this week, and I know Sting's not going to be here.
You know, I think it was it felt like a nice way back to the two-hour shows to have Hogan come out there, which has just been – his appearances have been all over the board as of late, so I didn't necessarily mind it. It felt like you got, you know, the champion to start the show off.
Okay. Well, you got to remember, there is a person who does carry the WCW Heavyweight Championship, and there is a line of guys that have legitimate claims to being the next, you know, the number one contender, the ones that have guaranteed title shots, as you learn down the road, that being the total package of Lex Luger and the Giant. They have still unclaimed title matches with Hollywood Hulk Hogan. So there's a call-out. He challenges him. He's calling for Sting to show up tonight, the fight staying in the ring tonight. He's ready. Eazy-E, make it happen. They've looked up. They've looked down. They looked over there and over there. No sign of Sting whatsoever. But there is a sign of the first ever six-man luchador tag team match. Super Calo, Juventud Guerrero, a debuting Hector Garza, taking on the team of La Parca, Damian, and Ciclope. Matthew, they went by luchador Mexican rules as well, so it means there's no tags. Guys just come in and out of the ring whenever they feel like. If they touch the floor, that means they've been out and they have to answer in a new combatant. Do you agree, disagree? Were you confused like I was?
Yeah, I was, but at the same time, WCW has done a really good job with the cruiserweight, so whenever you have something like this, I think it's a nice touch. So I didn't mind it, you know, this week. If it's something that continues, it's going to be interesting to see how it translates week to week, but it was different, and I really didn't mind it.
Line of the match, Larry Zbyszko going, "I'll tell you what, Mike, if there's a slow-mo, you can have it, because I don't think there was one. These guys were fast." And, you know, they brought in Professor Mike Tenay, because, you know, he being the professor of all Mexican wrestling. Professor Mike Tenay. It seemed like it was a cruiserweight heavy first hour-ish. for WCW, because the second match was Psychosis against the King of the Beach Video, Alex Wright. Das Wunderkind. Alex Wright and Psychosis with a win. And I don't know why they would say that Alex Wright should have been the favorite in this match. They're trying to build up that this was a big win for Psychosis. But
yeah,
honestly, what is Alex Wright doing right now? How
Again,
could this be an upset?
These are
beating
people
Alex
that
Wright?
You don't see on a weekly basis really on Nitro. It does, yeah, it just feels like two dudes thrown together. And, I mean, as much as I like to see...
Well, I don't want you to analyze two dudes. Let's analyze wrestling.
Especially Psychosis, you know, when you don't, that's what happens to a lot of their mid-card. They lose leverage in any position they're jockeying for because you don't see them on a weekly basis. They've got such a deep roster, and it's so many guys on the mid-card that they just, you know, when you don't see somebody for 3 or 4 weeks, just like last week with Dave Taylor, you know, who's to care about Dave Taylor when he's off of your programming for a month? And they think that Saturday night and, you know, house shows or whatever, or maybe people are paying attention. No, people, I think a lot of your Nitro viewers are watching Nitro on a weekly basis, and it's really hard to make people care about, not about the mid-card, it's hard to make care about mid-card talent that you don't actively see on a weekly basis on television, and WCW continues to do this.
Guillotine leg drop and picked up the win over Alex Wright. That is Psychosis. Now, after the replay, Mean Gene Okerlund in the aisle with Sonny Ono. Now, tonight, remember, Sonny Ono's got a big surprise for Masahiro, you know, and he says it's going to be his big nightmare. He keeps calling it his nightmare. There was a line out of Mean Gene tonight that says, hey, whoa, what's going on? You can't talk to Psychosis. This isn't the time allotted for him. Get out of here with these, what did he call them, flim-flam scams? A flim-flam scam. You know, Mean Gene, these guys would have the time that they had if you would stop asking the same damn questions over and over and keep hogging the microphone. So Sonny Ono then gets interrupted by somebody who needs to be analyzed, Medusa. And Medusa, a little hesitant, a little shy, maybe a little, you know, a little worried about what might happen if she's analyzed by, say, Mean Gene and Sonny Ono and Meathead and, you know, Matthew Thomas. But she accepts the stipulation that she can have a title shot at the Great American Bash if she puts her career on the line. Matthew, thoughts on this segment?
Hey, first of all, to Sonny, I have a hard time believing it, but I've heard recently through various reputable sources that Sonny is the most downloaded individual in the history of the internet. And I don't quite understand it. I don't make the
Wait a minute.
It's what I've heard. So I'm assuming they're talking about Sonny Ono.
Oh, wait a minute. Sonny, female Sonny. I think it smells like the Botanical Gardens, not Sonny Ono, who smells like a digital camera.
I got you. So that clears that up. And, you know, give Medusa a title versus career option. That's fine. It's something for her. She, again, she's somebody that tends to, you know, show up every about once a month or so. I wish I could be on TV on a weekly basis.
How about that little dig from Sonny Ono on Medusa? When you lose, you go back to nursing school. Wait, was Medusa a head nurse?
Quite possible. We need to get some interns on that to research that a bit. But no, it's an angle. It's a storyline for Medusa. So that's a positive.
Okay. When we come back, they go over to the announce table and they talk Slamboree, specifically Glacier being saved while being, you know, saved by someone who they thought was a fan. The story comes out that Glacier apparently invited Ernest Miller to be at the show due to his martial arts history and being a friend of Glacier. And Miller ended up hopping into the ring and making a save. Are you okay with friends of the talent jumping in the ring?
It's maybe something to make Glacier more interesting because he really hasn't done much for me since he's been in the company. I would have preferred it if instead of – is he really? Wow, he is. He is undefeated. And I don't care, to be quite honest with you. They haven't done a good enough job to make me care. This would be a better angle instead of Ernest Miller if it was his friend, the other Ernest, Jim Varney, that became involved in the action. Now, I would pop for that.
he comes down the ring and says, "Hey, Vern. Hey, Vern.
Hey, Vern. Hey, Meathead, do you know what I mean?"
You know, Jim Varney, there was a run, and he probably did this in your local station. You said you're from Charleston or somewhere in South Virginia or Virginia or somewhere over there, right?
Yeah, Virginia, and you're talking about the commercials, right?
Yeah, because he did for every market.
Yep.
So while
yep,
you saw him,
I
saw him too.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, indeed.
Yeah, so. Hey, Vern, are you watching that CW 24? Hey, Vern, you watching my 24? Hey, Vern, you watching WVTV? Yeah. How many days do you think he had to do that and say that line to get every local affiliate done?
No, there is no telling.
Unbelievable. But I'm glad you kind of chimed in because I was waiting for you to go, that's something. No. You knew right away what I was talking about because he did every damn television market. I know he did. That is hilarious.
Yep. He was all over the place.
That's okay. He was, he was a guy that was making money. Let's talk Wrath and Mark Starr, and this is why we were talking Glacier. The match wasn't as long as the entrance. They took over 3 minutes to put over Wrath as he walked down the ring when Mortison, James Vandenberg, and the helmet and the broken staff and the karate of all the competitors combined. Mark Starr was in the ring, too, by the way. Wrath defeats Mark Starr with a death penalty. Let's talk about Conan and Viano 4. First off, Viano 1, 2, and 3, who the hell are they? And if this is the gimmick they're using, will there be a six-man tag with, say, Viano's 1 through 6? I'd like to watch that. It would be like a family feud. By the way, they also wanted to let us know, too, as we're getting ready to set up Conan versus Viano, that DDP Randy Savage will be going at it at the next pay-per-view again. Number two, it'll be at the Great American Bash. Yeah. DDP and Randy Savage. Let's talk a little bit about that. How do you feel this match is going to go off at the next pay-per-view? Because Conan Viano 4 was...
DDP and Savage is the best feud they've got, and it's really the best thing they've done to push young talent in quite a while. And
did you call it DDP
you
young?
I was kind of trying to step that back a little bit. The best thing they've done to promote talent in a while is what I should say. Because, I mean, that's the thing with the NWO. They just really haven't done a lot to promote or put over non-established guys. And DDP seems to be the first person that's getting the rub from this group of former WWF guys. So I think this is the best thing that the WCW has going right now as far as a feud.
Let's hope they don't rub these two out. Conan went to victory in about 3 minutes flat with a tequila sunrise. Now, Mean Gene in the ring gets the interview with Conan. Conan yelling in Spanish. So Mean Gene, apparently the old white guard in WCW, yelling about how we need some English. You're in America, sir. Wow. Mean Gene, that's not accepted. Holy balls. Mean Gene. Holy balls. First, he takes umbrage with the fact that Kevin Sullivan is out. You know, he took his ball and went home. He's trying to, get his smile back. He's on hiatus. Also, he talks about, what's the deal with Hugh Morris? And he calls him the Pillsbury Fat Boy. You ever show up in one of my matches again, it's going to be 187 time, and that is how I roll. Conan, what a new direction of streetwise Conan. Maybe a Blood, maybe a Crip. I don't know what colors he's pulling. Maybe he's just a Mexican mafia. I mean, I don't know, but it's interesting. I'm kind of vibing on what Conan's doing right now.
Yeah, well, Kevin Sullivan took his ball and went home because he had to go paint.
Damn kids. Chipped my paint. As soon as I get off this lawnmower. You know Kevin Sullivan's out there in his bathrobe on a riding lawnmower. You know he is.
And WWF is the company that gets the grief for having the wrestlers that are all professions. I mean, but WCW, it's right there in front of you, Kevin Sullivan. I mean, that's his gimmick now. He's a painter. He's a handyman.
Yeah, I mean Kevin Sullivan is like a poor version of Forrest Gump, cutting the grass at the local high school. Yep, getting cut grass. Jacqueline, we're going to go down to WCW. Yep. Oh, boy. Mean Gene.
Is that Forrest Gump or the dude from Sling Blade? That's the dude from Sling Blade, right?
It was kind of a mix, and I couldn't back off of that. Yeah, it was a combination. And I apologize, folks. Yep, French fried taters. David Penzer starts his ring announcements and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, here's Sonny Ono. Here comes his nightmare." Now, very cool for those that have paid attention to wrestling, and you knew it had to be something because Mike Tenay is at the announce table. Gray Muda is a guy that's hasn't been in WCW often, but Gray Muda is an international superstar that cannot be trifled with. The Gray Muda is the Great Nightmare for Masahiro Chono. Now, Gray Muda comes out, and apparently Chono over in Japan has been trying to recruit the Muda to NWO Japan. Your thoughts on Muda versus Masahiro Chono?
I'm much more interested in what they're doing with this now. I mean, Muda's a big name, and honestly, prior to this, I didn't really care, but at least they've given it 2 weeks. I mean, he came out last week and said he was going to have the announcement, and it was Muda, so I'm willing to see what they do with it.
So the way it ends is that Muda spits the red mist at Ono. Chono and Muda beat the Ono down, and then Muda takes a picture with Sonny's camera. Chono hands Muda the shirt as Larry says he can't trust the Japanese because they have seven hearts. Wow. Larry. How these guys are still on TV with a standards and practice at Turner Sports. Wow. Ono bails down the aisle, and they're off to break, but it looks like the Great Muda has joined the NWO.
Japan.
Yeah, because they did come out to the B music, didn't they? They didn't come out to bam,
yeah.
Bam, bam.
No.
Yeah.
I don't know here. What does that even mean? Like, who does NWO Japan take on now? You know? Like, is it a thing? Do we even care? Or just in Japan? Like, this is... Man, this NWO deal has gotten it's been diluted for a while, and now you've got these segments of the NWO that do not interact with other segments of the NWO. Is every local town and precinct going to have their NWO affiliation? Is it going to be like a new political party or something? You're going to have people running this NWO? This is stretching this thing out a little bit too thin.
So the promo and the segment that you were just talking about when we talked about it during Conan's match actually had some in-ring action. It's Gene and it's the Macho Man, Randy Savage, yeah. But it's a commercial. So the commercial starts off with Randy in one of those NWO spots. The following announcement was paid for by the New World Order. And then here comes Gene with Kimberly and DDP. Now Paige is carrying a busted pair of crutches as he heads on. Gene talks about the Bash match, and Paige mocks how mad Savage looked in that NWO ad. Now Paige obviously says Savage is feeling the madness, yeah. And Gene says he's out of control. Also, Paige reminds Hogan he owes him a diamond cutter. At the Bash, DDP is going to be an SOB right down to the letter. Bang! I love Diamond Dallas Paige. I don't care how corny some of his promos sound. I love him. I think he's... You know, he's a guy that, to me, is just trying different things in a ring. I mean, he used to come out with the hair tied up. He used to come out with the cigar. He used to come out with the glasses. I mean, he's tried all these different little hokey gimmicks. Now he's just a striker. He's a bar brawler. That's what he should have been the whole time because Paige is a former bouncer at a nightclub. This is the Diamond Dallas phase we should have had. Your thoughts?
Wait, did you say he's a barber?
Yes. No, bouncer.
Oh. Yeah, I thought you meant like he was cutting, he was strutting and cutting or something like that. No,
strutting
I think, again.
And putting people to sleep.
Back to what I said, DDP is the brightest star that company's got, the brightest original star that company's got. He's one of the only things
Good
that's
morning.
Happening now towards the top of the car that doesn't feel like WWF's recycle bin.
There you go. That's a good way to put it. Let's talk about what we all came here to see. Jim Powers versus the Barbarian. Yeah. When we come back from commercial, Tony's talking about all the questions surrounding the WCW. And Nitro will be at the MGM Grand in Las Vegas on June 30th, and a brand new star will be debuting that night as well. All right, Matthew, the internet and news lines are buzzing over the identity. Who do you think it is? June 30th, 1997, who's debuting?
June 30th, 1990. If they specified it's somebody brand new, it's somebody jumping ship.
They haven't specified. What they said was a big star will be debuting in WCW on June 30th, 1997.
What's Bret Hart's contract situation?
Oh, I don't know. I thought he was still working in WWE.
Yeah, no, he is. He is, but I don't know, like, how soon his deal's up. Who else? Who else? I don't know. I don't know. I mean, Shawn Michaels' buddies are all over there. You know, I don't know what anybody's contract situation is, but I'm just saying.
Call in the hotline 909-9900. Matthew, who's it going to be? I mean, seriously, could it be somebody that we haven't seen in a while that might be coming back? I mean, could it be?
Well, you know, and again, going back to WWF talent, somebody who likes to jump back and forth, who's been in both organizations several times, is
start shaking the ropes maybe a little bit. What do you think?
Yeah. Well, I was gonna throw Sid out there.
Sid, that's a psycho answer.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Although I am justified in that response.
Oh, Matthew, you're winning today. You are winning, sir. You are absolutely killing the game today.
That's because I'm just that vicious.
Say the pun again, because obviously I wasn't paying attention.
I said it's just because I'm that vicious, but come on, meathead, you're lobbing softballs to me at this point.
Oh, cut it out with a pair of scissors. Oh, Matthew, I'm stalling now because I've lost my notes here. My notes have fell down into the dryer vent as I was, not paying attention here. Let's talk main event, okay?
I love how matter-of-factly you said they fell into the dryer vent.
Yes. Well, I give details here. I mean, there's no curtains that we hide behind. Let's talk main event. It was Harlem Heat. And it was the Horsemen. Jeff Jarrett and Steve Mongo McMichael taking on the team of Stevie Ray and Booker T. Or Booker Ray and Stevie T. I don't remember which one is which. I mean, I'm kidding, of course, folks. But do you feel that these teams really should be in the main event? Is this the main event? I mean, because there's obviously a segment that comes after, but
yeah. Should
this have been the main event?
No, and they do this a lot of times when there is a segment afterwards. They put something like this in the main event, and it just doesn't feel legitimate.
It didn't feel right. It felt like I was watching that might have been a main event. You know, that might have been a big pay-per-view or a match on WCW Saturday night. But as far as the main event on the Nitro when you're live, this was not the match we should have had. This wasn't it. Well, the main event segment, Sting was brought out through the ring again. He popped up underneath the ring and rips a hole. And I wonder how much those canvases cost. I mean, because they've done it 2 weeks in a row now.
Yeah.
WCW burning through money. I mean, you know, Sting dropping from the ceiling cost money. Ripping a hole in the ring cost money. Oof, I don't know, man. But anyways, Eazy-E, Hulk Hogan get down to the ring. Here comes Sting popping up through the ring. Now, folks, he was so slow to get up through the ring. You were sold already that it wasn't Sting, obviously. The announcer said, oh, my God, there's wait a minute, that's not Sting. Do you wish the announcers would let that go? Just let us believe for a moment that it's Sting. Let us decide for ourselves.
Yeah, it'd be a nice touch, but I think they've got to put a certain narrative out there. They just don't want to leave up to interpretation.
Okay. Well, it definitely wasn't Sting, okay? It was fake Sting, who was made to get down on his hands and knees and beg for forgiveness. Then all of a sudden, you could feel a buzz. You could feel a buzz. You look around, camera, whew, real Sting drops in. Scorpion Death drops to Eric Bischoff. He is out. He taps Hogan. Hogan runs and does the old, what do they call that, the schoolboy, where you stand behind somebody and you push them over and they, you know, fall over your back. Well, that's how Hogan got out of ring tonight. Sting standing in the ring, waiting for Hogan to come back. Here comes the entire NWO. They start to surround the ring. And that extra 5 minutes gave us nothing. They're out of time. Matthew, we even got the extra 5 minutes that we, you know, weren't supposed to get because the show should have been off at 55. Nope. Mm-hmm. Thoughts on the overall show tonight? Oh, and I'm sorry.
A little bit lacking.
Skipped over Giant taking on three guys, but seriously, meh.
Yeah, it was lacking. I expected a little bit more from the first two-hour show back. And, you know, I thought it was lacking. We just, especially again with the mid-card, we don't have consistent, the mid-card differs so much week to week. You know, where was Malenko this week? Where was Benoit?
Well, at least we have
Benoit this
week. We had Benoit interact in the Barbarian match.
Yeah.
So,
And then they try to make us care about a psychosis victory, and it's just, again, they're struggling. They're struggling in a lot of places. There's a lot of bright points. There's a lot of things that can be done much, much better. But, man, there's a lot of things that are slipping through the cracks here.
Speaking of cracks, we've analyzed all we can with WCW Monday Nitro tonight. For Matthew Thomas, I'm the man they call Meathead. We're building towards the Great American Bash, and we've got matches already starting to come up here. Also, a quick announcement from the Outsiders tonight that they will take on the tag team of Piper and Flair. Was it Piper and Flair, I think, tonight? Yeah, it was Piper and Flair. They'll give them a title shot.
Yeah.
Wow. Tag team championships at the Great American Bash. The one-year anniversary of the NWO. And we've been doing shows for a year, too, Matthew.
God. Wow. Isn't that amazing, huh?
I mean, it was Memorial Day 1996 that we did our first show.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot believe it. Memorial Day 1996. Well, here we are, Memorial Day 1997, and we're still going strong. We'll see you guys next week. So long, everyone.